This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll hear about the latest group of People's Liberty Grant recipients. Each of the eight recipients will receive $10,000 for projects ranging from a unique urban gardening model to spontaneous sidewalk parades to encourage people to explore the city. Also, we'll have a look at preservation efforts in Cincinnati. But first, the Cincinnati Zoo is standing by its decision to kill a 17-year-old gorilla named Harambe when a 4-year-old boy climbed into Gorilla World Saturday and fell into the moat below. Zoo Director Thane Maynard says the boy was being dragged by the gorilla, and shooting and killing it was the only option given the gorilla's strength, his agitation and disorientation, and the risk of using tranquilizer darts, which wouldn't immediately take effect. Joining us now by phone is Executive Director and CEO of the Detroit Zoo, Ron Kagan. Ron's also on the advisory committee of the Detroit Zoological Society's Center for Zoo Animal Welfare. Ron, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Ron, there's been just a lot of emotion about this. Some people are blaming the zoo. Some people are blaming the boy's parents. The incident's still under investigation, so there are still many things we don't know. But given what we do know, what kind of guidelines and protocols do zoos across the country have in place for dealing with something like this?
Well, all accredited zoos, like Cincinnati, have very robust programs that involve emergency weapons teams, emergency mobilization teams, procedures, public and crowds in situations like this. And I'm quite sure that Cincinnati followed all of those, and we all practice with many emergency drills. But having been in the military, I can tell you that when you actually get into a situation, you hope to be able to utilize those procedures in a way that ultimately leads to a safe outcome for everybody, but it's never that easy, and every situation is different. And obviously, I don't know all the details, but I do know that Cincinnati is a very, very fine zoo and with very, very capable people, and all of them obviously cared enormously for that animal and every other animal. So when you're faced with a choice where you're fearful that a human would be seriously injured if not killed, every now and then those really horrible situations force you to do things that are really tough. And I really feel for, I mean, first and foremost, I feel for the gorillas there and of course, for the staff and frankly, for the whole community in Cincinnati, because I'm sure this has been incredibly traumatic.
So it's not something that it wasn't a decision that was taken lightly at all then?
Oh, God, no. Gorillas in general have no interest in harming people and certainly not a child. So, you know, the challenge is that when you have a situation where either an animal escapes or where somebody is in an animal's enclosure, that creates enormous stress for an animal. I think it's on the plus side, they were able to get two of the gorillas to come in. I'm sure they tried very hard to get him to come in as well. But that animal is, they're screaming people around, and so it becomes a very stressful situation. And it's pretty obvious from the video that even though it would be unintentional, pretty obvious that the child was at significant risk. And so then you've just, what you really hope is that those situations don't happen, and that when you think about it, that zoo has had that exhibit, I think, for over 30 years, and if I'm not mistaken, attendance there is well over 1 million people a year, so there have been 30 million plus people that have gone through there, and something like this has never happened before. Freak accidents do happen, and it's horrible when they happen, but you want to try to avoid that as much as possible.
Ron, something I didn't realize is that the Cincinnati Zoo had sharpshooters on staff. Is that pretty common for zoos?
Yes. We have an emergency weapons team, and we train on a regular basis, at shooting ranges, and also we train with emergency drills here for every emergency you can think of, whether it's a terrorist incident or a child abduction or many, many other things. So there are many, many emergency protocols that are in place. And again, I'm sure all of those were activated, but you have a convergence of very unfortunate circumstances all converging. And then you're faced with a really, really awful decision to make. So it's the kind of stuff that keeps us up at night.
Ron, so what's the process for the investigation? I understand it's the USDA that looks into these kinds of things.
Well, I think several things will happen. There'll be a team coming from AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, that will no doubt come. I'm sure the zoo itself will go through another review process of its own. It's certainly possible USDA will come and also understand what's happened. I can tell you that every zoo around the world is walking around, just as we have over the past few days, looking yet again at everything we have and everything we do. And I think one of the things that people need to keep in mind is that in the old days, zoos were kind of like prisons, and you had animals behind bars, and, you know, technically it was much safer, but that was a horrible life for the animals and, frankly, not a very good learning experience for people either. So the trade-off is, you know, that Cincinnati and many others have built wonderful naturalistic environments that are much, much better for the well-being of the animals. But what that means is that you rely on things like moats and fences and thorny bushes and things like that. And there's kind of an unwritten contract that the public will respect the barriers. I mean, you know, we don't even have barriers, and people can walk from a sidewalk onto a road, which is a very dangerous thing to do. Zoos have barriers, and it's extremely important that people pay attention to the signs and pay attention to the barriers, because even if it's not a gorilla or a tiger, if somebody, you know, decides either intentionally or unintentionally goes into a habitat with a zebra or a giraffe or anything else, your life is at risk.
Ron, and after an incident like this, you were talking about this a little bit earlier, but you really do think that zoos across this country are now stopping and pausing and saying, boy, we really need to look at our own processes and our own guidelines for dealing with this?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you have to. In fact, I was talking with somebody else today from the media. I can't remember when it was, a few years ago. There was a television crew, a media crew, that were killed, and so media stations around, TV stations around the country, immediately reviewed their protocols and procedures. And I think it's only prudent to do that. You know, there may have been 30 million people that have been through that area, and that's never happened. So it's an incredibly rare situation. There are situations that are more common, where you have somebody who's intentionally doing that. That just happened in Chile a couple of weeks ago with somebody who clearly was mentally ill, who went into the lion habitat, climbed over a bunch of barriers and taunted the lions, and ultimately they had to shoot the lions. He was mauled. I don't know if he survived, but, you know, it can be dangerous, and it's just really important for everybody to pay attention and follow the rules, basically.
Ron, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Executive Director and CEO of the Detroit Zoo, Ron Kagan. Ron is also on the advisory committee of the Detroit Zoological Society's Center for Zoo Animal Welfare. Coming up, we'll take a look at the latest People's Liberty projects. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.